as some of you, most of you know, the pastor is away on vacation, enjoying some precious time with family, and he's looking for somebody to fill in. And I said I was willing to fill in, and then I realized it was Father's Day. And I thought, I've been thinking, you know, when the opportunity came again, let me turn this thing on. I got to get this rid out of my eyes here, just a minute. When I was thinking about Father's Day, I thought it fit right in line with what the Lord's been working on my heart for the past 3 years. This is not going to be a challenge to you as fathers today. It's a challenge to each of us as His children. Most of you probably don't remember, but about 3 years ago, I brought a message on why are we heirs of God. And the Lord's been working in my heart since then, and I said that I need to build on it. So today, title of the sermon, if you want to come up with a title, God chose to be your father. Well, think of that. How often do we think that He chose to be my father? Think about that. Dan reads the Psalms, and I appreciate that he doesn't read that little word, little phrase that says Selah or Selah, because that's basically a musical term that says stop, pause, and think about it. Well, think of that. So what the idea is, you want to look back and see, what is he wanting me to think about? When the psalmist writes and says, stop, think about it. Before we get too far in, I want you to turn your Bibles. I do not have this on the slide because this one just came to me this morning in my devotions. I'm getting a lot of feedback. Is this a little loud? But that's fine. Proverbs 25. I will not have scriptures on the screen. I will have passages. I want you to turn in your Bibles because I want you to read it in your word, not thinking I've changed the words. But reading in my devotions this morning, I came across in the several chapters and two special verses. Proverbs chapter 25, verses 6 through 7 says, do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of noble. You may say, what does that have to do with Father's Day? My tendency today is, I don't want you to think. Truthfully, I think today is more about, you can get the idea of it's a feel-good thing. Because I want you to feel good that God chose to be your father. But I don't want you to feel like He chose to be your father, but there's not a responsibility as children. Too much of this world teaches about the good things and the wonderful things without there's a responsibility. The health and wealth gospel is all over the place. And that's not what this is about. God's been working on my heart. If you don't catch anything out of it, at least one person's gotten something out of it because He's been working on my heart in this. But in my study, I was reading, and I know John MacArthur got it from somebody else, but 40% of children live without a biological father in the home. 40% of children live without a biological father in the home. Over 50% of children are born outside of marriage. 85% of prisoners grew up in a fatherless home. 85% of children with behavioral disorders grew up in a fatherless home. 90% of youth who run away and become homeless grew up in a fatherless home. Children in fatherless homes are 300% more likely to deal drugs and carry weapons. Fathers, you have a responsibility. But we're not without a father. The common understanding is, and I, when I was reading this, I thought, yes and no. But common understanding is that children will get their view of God from their father. To an extent, yes. They hear about God being their father, and they compare that. But what children really get a sense of is what it is to be a man. Both the girls and the boys get what it is to be a man. But there's a responsibility. If we say that we're the vision for father, we're bringing God down to our level. He's a better father than we ever thought to be. When I was thinking about the preparation of this, a song came back from my childhood. And I says, you know what? I got to do it. You may think it has nothing to do with it, but we're going to tie it all in eventually. But God, as a father, it's some funny things in this and that type of thing. I'm not trying to make light of Scripture. But think about this, that God did this as the Father. Out of the vast expanse of nothing, God created this old earth. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. And from a little bit of dust, he molded man without a birth. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. Well, think of that when you would doubt him. Think of that when you would fear. Well, think of that when you would question mark his guidance and his care. Just think where you'd be without him if he didn't have him near. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. In less time than it takes to tell it, he flung out the galaxies. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. And so that man might play in water, he spilled out the seven seas. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. Well, think of that when you would doubt him. Think of that when you would fear. Well, think of that when you would question mark his guidance and his care. Just think where you'd be without him if you didn't have him near. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. When Jonah got a little careless and he let go of the rail. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. God gave him fine accommodations in the belly of a whale. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. Well, think of that when you would doubt him. Think of that when you would fear. Well, think of that when you would question mark his guidance and his care. Just think where you'd be without him if you didn't have him near. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. They laughed at Noah when he built his ark away up on a hill. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. But those who laughed are dead, while all of Noah's kin are living still. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. Well, think of that when you would doubt him. Think of that when you would fear. Well, think of that when you would question mark his guidance and his care. Just think where you'd be without him if you didn't have him near. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. When Daniel crawled into the lion's den, he curled up in the straw. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. Those lions sure were mighty hungry, but God gave them all lockjaw. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. Well, think of that when you would doubt him. Think of that when you would fear. Well, think of that when you would question mark his guidance and his care. Just think where you'd be without him if you didn't have him near. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. They thought that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went up the flue. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. But they discovered as they walked around that they were fireproof. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. Well, think of that when you would doubt him. Think of that when you would fear. Well, think of that when you would question Mark, his guidance and his care. Just think, where you'd be without him if you didn't have him near. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. I know it was stupid, but it came, that song came to my mind when I started the study. Why did he do all of this? The scripture tells, what does scripture tell us about him as our father? There's not a lot of references I discovered in the Old Testament to God as father. I only found about 10 times, or about a dozen times, that actually calls God the Father. We need to understand what it is to be a father. Today's society, I don't think we have a full comprehension, but when you're talking about in the days when Jesus walked the earth, the attitude, if you look at Middle East society today, you find the father is a different figure than what the father is here in our society. We try so much to be our children's friend instead of a parent so often. An old German theologian, I have a hard time saying his name, Ottfried Hofius. His statement was, in the patriarchal societies of antiquity, the father figure is endowed with two particular characteristics. On the one hand, the father rules as head of the household and the person to whom most respect is due, having absolute authority over his family. On the other hand, he has the responsibility of guarding, supporting, and helping the other members. Both these characteristics are also present when a deity is described and is addressed as Father. As I said, in the Old Testament, God isn't referred to a lot as Father, but they saw him as their Father. There's two times that I found it talks about God being the Father because of creation. Look at Deuteronomy 32:6. Deuteronomy 32, I'm going to start from verse 1, but verse 6 is where it is. But give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass and like showers upon the herb. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness without iniquity, just and upright is he. They have dealt corruptly with him. They are no longer his children because they are blemished. They are a crooked and twisted generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Is not your father who created you? Is not he your father who created you, who made you and established you? So we see he's seen as the creator. Also in Isaiah 64:8. Isaiah 64:8, he's seen as the creator. But now, O Lord, you are our father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. This is basically referring to God as Father. But most often, God in Scripture is more talked about as the Father in a defending, saving, redeeming sense in the Old Testament. Psalm 89:26. He says, he shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. The psalmist is talking here, realizing he is the one for redemption. That's the purpose of the Father. And then back in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 16, I guess I read the wrong one on 64:8 was the one before. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are day, and you are our potter, we are clay. That's the one I read before. Isaiah 63:16. For you are our Father through Abraham, though Abraham does not know us, and Israel does not acknowledge us. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer. From of old is your name. So he is the Redeemer. Then we go over to the New Testament. This is where Jesus referred to God as Father over 150 times. Now we've gone through, 39 books of the Old Testament, and basically could find around a dozen times where God was referred to as Father. So now you begin to see Jesus is causing a real stir. Because what's he doing? First of all, he's calling God his Father and putting himself on the same level. But he's talking about God as the Father in a more intimate relationship type sense. This is why the Jews had so much trouble with Jesus. This is one of the reasons Jews had so much trouble with him and what he did. He's referring to God on a personal, relational sense. Not this big, powerful being overall, but the one who loves and cares and places him in the same type of care. But I said the third passage was, God chose to be your Father. And some of this is going to be a repeat from 3 years ago. But we are adopted. How often in Scripture is it shown we are adopted, we are heirs, joint heirs with Jesus? Turn in Romans chapter 8. If you are adopted, you are his children, legally binding. But in order to be adopted, what has to be paid? Adoption, today's world, it's a financial. It costs to adopt. There's a price for God to be our Father. What was that price? What was the price God had paid so that he could be our Father? His own son died. And if we don't acknowledge that and accept that and acknowledge we are not worthy but through the blood of Jesus Christ, there's nothing I can do to gain favor with my Father. The only thing I can do is gain favor with him is through the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. But he loved us so much, he sacrificed his own personal Son so that he may adopt us. My brother has a statement. My brother was saved later in life. I was raised in a Christian home. My grandparents were missionaries. My dad started out as an evangelist. 2 days after my parents were married, my dad was an evangelist in a Bible camp. And somebody got upset because he kissed his new bride one time when others could see. But I was raised in a Christian home. My brother was saved later in life, listened to his testimony, and basically you grow up in a Christian family, you so often think, I'm there, I'm saved. I acknowledge all this. He knew everything. He'd memorized verses more than anybody. He won all kinds of prizes for memorizing all kinds of verses. Yet he went to Bible school. After he got married, he went to Bible school. He says, I got to see if this thing my grandparents and my father were talking about is real. And as he's studying, for one of his classes in the book of John, he's reading and he says, John spoke to him and says, this needs to be personal. He says, one thing I realized, God does not have any grandchildren. It must be a personal. He has only children. You are his child. You are his. What's the difference between parents and grandchildren. Can grandparents tell me the difference between being a parent and being a grandchild? Which is an easier life? I get to spoil them and send them home. Although they know they can't get away with things too much, right? God does not have any grandchildren. We all must come to the decision ourselves. We all must have a personal relationship with his Father. If you've had an earthly father that's not been a great example to you, you have a heavenly Father who's the best example there ever could be. You want to get to know that Father, read the things he wrote. You want to get to know your Father, you spend time with him, right? You want to get to know what he is, what he expects, you spend time with him. I love spending time with my grandchildren. I love spending time with my children. You know what? God loves spending time with you. His schedule's open for you to come. He chose to bring you into his family. But Romans chapter 8, hopefully you've turned there, just verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You get that? For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, or children of God would be a better translation. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Jesus' revelation was fresh and new about what Father was. He used many terms, and that's why it was controversial. But he used many terms. It was Father. Talked about God as his Father. But he also, Abba. He also says, our Father, the Father we can pray to, our Heavenly Father. Intimacy is one of the hallmarks of the use of the name Father by Jesus. He was intimately related in the early church. Dr. Ralph S. Wilson said, Jesus and his disciples read Hebrew in the synagogue, but in everyday speech and preaching, used a closely related language of Aramaic. In biblical Hebrew, Ab is father, but in Aramaic, Abba is a word derived from the baby language. As the rabbi said, a small child learns to say Abba, or daddy, and Ema, or mummy. In the pre-Christian era, the usage of the word broadened so that Abba is a form of address to one's father was no longer restricted to children, but also used by adults, sons and daughters. The childish character of the word daddy thus receded, and Abba acquired the warm, familiar ring which we may feel is such an expression as dear father. While nowhere in the entire devotional literature of ancient Judaism is Abba a way of addressing God and Jesus' teaching and practice, such an expression was the norm. My daughter has two names for me. number one name is not the mama. Some of you that watched years ago, there was old dinosaurs program, and the baby always said, not the mama. So that's her affectionate name for me. I think it's affectionate. The other is daddy. Jesus had such a relationship, he wants you to call his father daddy. We had a teacher in Bible school. She drove me up with the nuts. She taught English. She also taught Christian ed, was it? And Aggie. But her statement was, she says, I am my father's, I am God's pet. I am his favorite. And it drove me nuts. But you know, we need that relationship. I want to think I am his favorite. It's such a personal relationship. I can go to him for anything. If you've ever been by someone in their bedside that has known Jesus, I still remember one when we worked at the Baptist camp. On her last hours, she laid her head over on the chair because she saw Jesus was sitting there. She wanted her head to be in the lap of her Father, of her Savior. You want that relationship. Is he a disciplinarian? I hope so, because that's what keeps us on the straight and narrow. But he loves us so much, he wants you to talk with him, to share with him, to be in such an intimate relationship. Now, we do not bring God down to our level. Please don't get me saying that. We do not bring God down to our level. But he wants so much to hear us. And you know, sometimes he wants us to say, I think I've lied to God more times in my prayers than I have otherwise. Because you pray for somebody instead of saying, God, I cannot stand this individual. Okay, I can work with that. You believe that? God can say, I can work with that. But if you won't be honest with me, how can I work with you? How can I come? God wants to hear from you. He wants to spend time with you. And I don't have time. I'm running off. I love the early morning hours, and my wife thinks I'm nuts, but I love the early morning hours. Time in the Word there, just time to reflect. I spent half this sermon prep was in the early morning hours because I find there's less distractions. After the long day, you get so tired and you're weary, and we look for excuses. But he calls us his children. And in Galatians 4, we can read through. I'm not going to go through everything. I want you to know that you can have that kind of relationship with your Father. When your relationship with the Father of all is above all, your relationship here will grow as well. My father is no longer with us. My father-in-law is no longer with us. But I know, and I'm one, I may be wrong, but when they got to heaven, they were no longer concerned about me. They're with the one they love much more. Much more. Rejoicing more. My mother with him. And I imagine there was a great reunion when they got back together. I imagine there was a great reunion, but I cannot see my father sitting there looking down. Oh, how's she doing today? Lord, be a strength to her. Because he was with his Savior. He was with his Father. And now she's there to be with them together. The one they love more than each other. That, to me, is more rejoicing than to think that, oh, they're watching over me. They're doing all that. I don't think they have time for that. They're with their Father. They're on a one-to-one basis with their Father. So special, so close. The Galatians 4, I'm not going to turn there, but it says, when we come, we're instantly heirs. We're instantly His. Now, adoption, like I said, when I said 3 years ago, never really meant that much to me, but as I've read this, it just has become more and more. My brother-in-law has adopted many kids. His first wife had three kids that he adopted. And when she passed away, he married another lady who had four girls. And then they also adopted two Ukrainian boys. And what's that? Latvia. Don't get that wrong. But you talk to him, they're not his adopted children. They're his children. They're 100% his children. When the relationship with the Father is so, it grows and it grows. Yes, you're referred to as adopted family and all of this, but that family does not refer to one another as adopted. He is their daddy. He is the one they go to. That spoke to me more. This is one I have trouble with. I read this before when I preached this sermon, but my niece wrote this, and it tells to me the greatest message that ever spoke to my heart. And I hope I can get through it. This is the one that you all had prayed for and passed away a few months ago. But she says, when my mom asked if we wanted to be adopted by Dad, I wasn't fully aware what that meant. She was quite young. But Ryan was so excited about it that I agreed and said it sounded great. Now, Ryan was a boy who realized that the adoption meant something new, so he had his name changed legally. When we come to Christ, we have a new name. What happened when Saul was walking down the road to Tarsus and Christ spoke? He gave him a new name. Simon became Peter because he was the rock. When that relationship with God, there's something new. And I always appreciated that Ryan saw this was a new beginning. He needed a new beginning. This was a young kid. I think he was he 10 years old? 10, 12 years old. Realize it's something new and it means something. That's our relationship with God. When we come to Christ through Christ to God, our Father, there's a new name. Doesn't mean we change our name, but we have a new name and we have someone to live up to. He says, I fully understood what it meant to be adopted once the adoption was finalized. Dad said the day of the adoption, I couldn't stop crying because I couldn't understand. This is what gets me every time. I couldn't understand why the man who was supposed to be our father didn't want us, but this man who didn't have to be our dad did want us. I went from not having a constant male figure in my life to have the best dad who showed us what true love is. He brought so much love and happiness to my mom and us that I thank God daily for him. He's not just my dad, but one of my best friends. Can you say about that about God? Can you say that about your father? God, he's one of my best friends. Do you look forward to that time you spend with him? Or do you look and say, I got to do it again? Well, think of that when you doubt him. Think of that when you would fear. Well, think of that when you would question mark his guidance and his care. Just think where you'd be without him if you didn't have him near. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. Sing it with me. Well, think of that when you would doubt him. Think of that when you would fear. All right. Well, think of that when you would doubt him. Think of that when you would fear. Well, think of that when you would question mark his guidance and his care. Just think where you'd be without him if you didn't have him near. Well, think of that. Well, think of that. Think of that. Where would you be without a father who loved you that much? Let's pray. Lord, we so often take for granted the relationship, the access we have to our Father. Lord, we pray that you would renew that love in our hearts for you. Thank you, Lord, for your strength that you give, the encouragement you give. And may we live for you day by day as we find ourselves faithful in your walk. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.